Brothers and sisters, Plainfield Baptist Church, another week has gone past since we've been together in this building that I'm standing in on a Lord's Day. And in many ways, that makes my heart sad. I miss seeing you. I miss looking out throughout this room and seeing the precious faces of people that I know and have come to love during my time here. And I long for the day, hopefully very soon, when we'll be together again, where I'll get to, on a Lord's Day like today, get to hear the beautiful singing of your voices as we sing and lift our voices to Jesus Christ, our Savior, who has loved us and given himself up for us. And so I pray that our time that we'll have together in God's Word, whether you're listening to this today on Sunday, or maybe it's Monday or another day this week, I pray that this word from the Lord would be something that would strengthen you and your walk with Christ. I pray that it would encourage you, and I pray that it would help us to see our dependence upon Jesus, how much we need him and his help and his strength to live the life that God has called us to live. So as we approach God's word this morning, why don't we pray and ask him for his help? God, I pray that you would be with me this morning and the brothers and sisters of Plainfield Baptist Church, wherever they are when they first hear this. God, I pray that you would help us to know something more of the height and width and depth of the love that is in your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we need your help for these things. None of us is sufficient to come to your word and be enlightened apart from your Spirit. So we pray that your Spirit would come, that he would show us things in the text this morning that are true, things that would exalt the Lord Jesus and make much of him, and things that would encourage us, that would give us hope. God, I pray you would be with me as I preach. I pray that everything I say would do those things. I pray that it would exalt Jesus, and I pray that everything that does not would be quickly forgotten. So help us at this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, wherever you're at, whether you're at home in your pajamas or whether you're sitting on your bed or at the breakfast table, wherever you're at, if you haven't already, I hope that you have a copy of God's Word near you. So as you're hearing the Word preached, you can also look for yourself and see in God's Word what I'm reading to you and what I'm preaching before you. This week, we're going to be, with God's help, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, as I said last week when we were in the Gospel of John, in these unusual weeks that we have right now during the outbreak of this very serious virus that is afflicting our country and our world, I've taken a few weeks to go someplace in the New Testament that we normally don't go. You know this, and if you're here listening to our service for some reason, you're not a member of our church, maybe you've never been before, normally on a Sunday morning, we preach through books of the Bible. Here at Plainfield Baptist Church, we go through book by book, verse by verse, through different portions of God's Word. This week, as I did last week, I want us to look at a particular text in God's Word, and that's the one that I've just mentioned, Ephesians chapter 3. I want us to, especially with God's help this morning, focus on verses 14 to verse 19 of that chapter, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to verse 19. So I'm going to read that for us as we begin, and actually I'm going to read down even a little further, all the way to verse 21. So let's begin reading that portion of God's Word with God's help, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, and I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, I think that there's at least two key truths that we'll see in the verses that we've just read this morning. I'll read them to you now. The first one is this. I think that we'll see a prayer asked according to God's inexhaustible riches. A prayer asked according to God's inexhaustible riches. Next, I think we'll see a prayer for strength to know more of the limitless measures of God's love. A prayer for the strength to know more of the limitless measures of God's love. Let's begin working through that first truth we've just heard. A prayer asked according to the inexhaustible riches. Look again with me, please, at verse 16. Paul says in verse 16, I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit. When Paul says that he's praying for God the Father to grant these believers something according to the riches of his glory, he's essentially telling them that he's asking God to bless them according to the immeasurable splendor of God's good character, of everything that makes God awesome and set apart, and everything that he's done, everything that's good inside of who he truly is. And think about this. How gloriously rich is Paul's God? How infinitely rich is he in glory? He's inexhaustibly rich. We'll never reach the end of his glory. So when Paul includes the phrase, here's what he's trying to communicate. He's trying to say, I'm praying for God to bless you, and I want the measure of God's blessing for you to be commensurate with the limitlessness of God's glory. Paul makes a similar point to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. How can the Philippians know that God will be able to supply their every need? Again, it's because the promise of God's supply accords with the riches of God's glory in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is infinitely glorious. And thus the Philippians can rest assured that God will meet their every need, because the barometer for how much he gives will accord with his infinite glory, which will never end. That's the same truth that Paul is drawing upon here in Ephesians chapter 3. He's praying that God will bless these Christians in Ephesus according to the limitless storehouse of his glorious riches. That's what Paul prays for these Christians. And that's something as Christians that we should pray for ourselves. Right now, there's a global and national concern over supply and demand. I mentioned this last week. There's a concern that there's going to be enough ventilators for hospitals. There's, in many states, a constant concern that there's even going to be enough testing for this virus to make sure that people who do in fact have the virus will have the test they need to confirm that they have it so they can be treated in the best ways. And when Paul prays for God to help these Christians, he doesn't ask for God to help them in accordance with the supply that will one day run out, like ventilators or tests or hospital beds. He asks God to grant them strength and power in accordance with the infinite riches of who he is. What does this tell us as Christians? I think one of the things this teaches us is this, and we'll come back to this again in our message. It's that when we pray to God for help and strength, we pray as Paul does here in Ephesians chapter 3. We can pray for God to renew our fleeting strength on the basis of his never-ending glory and power. And think about this. What joy there is in being able to do this, friends. There's virtually nothing else like this in life. Almost everything that you physically need in this life is dependent upon some type of supply and demand. If the demand one day outweighs the supply, you may in fact not have what you need. If your checking account runs low, there may be a risk that you won't have enough money to put gas in your car or food in your pantry or enough money to make a mortgage payment. And it's not so with God's strength. It's not so with God's mercy. And it's not so with God's glory. These things never end. When we pray for God to strengthen us in according to His never-ending glory, we can be confident that we will never be without the strength that we truly need at the hour that we truly most need it. That's why Paul says here in verse 16, I pray that He may grant you according to the riches of His glory. Just as the riches of God's glory can never be depleted, so can your strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow never be depleted when you cry out to God in the name of His Son for strength in accordance with the riches of His glory. This leads us to our next point. A prayer for strength to understand the measures of God's love. A prayer for strength to understand the limitless measures of God's love. Look again with me, please, at verse 16. I pray that He may grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through His Spirit. So what's the key thing Paul is praying for these believers here? He's praying that they would be strengthened, that God would strengthen them. And strengthen them to what? As we keep reading in these verses, we see that it's strengthened so that they'll be able to comprehend God's love for them in Jesus Christ. That's something we should faithfully and regularly pray for ourselves as believers, as disciples of the Lord Jesus. We should pray for God to strengthen us by the power of His Spirit. Paul wants these believers to be strengthened in power to comprehend the heights and depths and lengths of God's mercy. That's so clear in these verses. Another thing that rings truly and clearly in these verses is that Paul has confidence. Paul is confident in these believers standing before God. He writes, I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in God's love, already being rooted, already being established. In other words, Paul's saying, I'm praying with confidence that the roots of God's love already run deep within you. I'm praying in the confidence that the foundation of your life is the firm, rock-solid foundation of God's love for you in His Son Jesus. That's what Paul means here. So Paul believes that these people have a true saving relationship with Jesus. He's confident of that for these Ephesus living Christians. And now in the confidence of that reality, in the confidence that these people are firmly rooted in the love of Jesus Christ, what does Paul go on to say in verse 17? He says, I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So what is Paul saying here? I think first there's a few things that we need to understand here. One of the things that we need to understand here as Christian readers is this. When Paul says that he prays that these Christians will be able to comprehend God's love, the comprehension that Paul is talking about is more. It's more than just mere intellectual comprehension. It certainly includes the human intellect, but in a real way, in some profound way, it goes beyond just the human intellect. Part of the reason we know this is because of what Paul says in verse 19. In verse 19, Paul says that Christ's love surpasses knowledge. It surpasses knowledge. In other words, even though there's a sense in which, as Christians, we can comprehend God's love here and now in this life and in this sinful world, there are also true senses in which the depths of God's love are so vast and so deep that we'll never fully understand them. We'll never be able to get our arms around the foothold of them. And this teaches us, I think, at least two things as Christians. The first thing I think it teaches us is that we need to be ever growing in the intimate knowledge of the depths of God's love. We need to be ever growing in the intimate knowledge of the depths of God's love. And the second thing it teaches us is that we can't grow in our knowledge of God's love apart from God's strength. We can't grow in our knowledge of God's love apart from God's strength. So how do you grow in your comprehension of God's love, at least in the way that Paul is talking about in these verses? You pray. You get on your knees and ask God for strength. Realize this, dear Christian. You need to know God's love every day in a fresh way. You need to grow in your standing of God's love every day, no exception. And your heart and mind need to rehearse afresh the wonders of God's love. God's love and growing in the comprehensions of God's love is a little bit like eating. It's not like you can just eat one day and then you don't have to eat for a while. Or you can eat one day and then you eat the next month when you think about it. No, we have just as we have a physical need for nutrition and sustenance, so too we have a real profound spiritual need to feed ourselves every day with the truth of God's word and the promises of his love and mercy in Jesus Christ. And the spiritual calculus of these things, or the spiritual geometry that C.H. Spurgeon calls it of these things, is not something that we can just learn one time and that we get past. That's why Paul says that he prays for strength. Again, it goes back to this concept that we too often don't think about our understanding of God's love in these sorts of ways. We too often don't think about being weak, being too weak to have a right encounter with God's love. But friends, that's the very conclusion that Paul draws here in these verses. I've sometimes heard people say, God won't give you more than you can handle. Friends, that's wrong. The Bible never talks like that. It never teaches that. The teaching of the Bible is not that God will never give you more than you can handle. It's that God, if you're in Christ, will never give you more than he can handle. And you and I need strength to grow in the knowledge of God's love and the knowledge of the love that holds us and handles everything that we need in this life. There's something important that we need to understand, though, friends. Before we can be strengthened by God's love to comprehend his love in deeper ways, we first have to have some type of true saving encounter with God's love before we can go to it in these deeper ways. What does that mean? The Apostle Paul says earlier in this letter, actually just one chapter earlier, in chapter 2, he says in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, speaking to these Christians, he says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and are raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. Friends, you need to know something about yourself if you're not in Christ in the way that these verses speak about. Every single person in this world is born into this world not under God's good favor, but we're born in what Paul says there in Ephesians chapter 2. We're born not as God's children, but children of wrath. We're born as those who have not earned God's favor and blessing, but who have earned his judgment because of our sin. You see, friends, the Bible makes it very clear that you and I, we're sinners. It's not something that we're often told or maybe that you often think about, but the truth and the reality of this world and the reality that's presented in the scripture that I'm reading from is that every single person in this world comes into this world the way that Paul describes. We break God's law. We've sinned against the living God. We've sinned against our Creator who made us and made us in his image to reflect his glory and the goodness of his character. And because of God's holy character, because he is a holy God who's set apart from us in all good ways, God, because he's a holy God and a just God, his justice would require that our sin and our offenses and our rebellion and our transgressions be punished and paid for. And the reality that we face is this: one way or another, our sins will be paid for. And here's what you need to know, friend. Either you will one day spend an eternity paying for your sins in a constant darkness that's unspeakable in how terrible it is, where you'll be cut off from God forever. That'll be the way you'll pay for your sins. And you'll never, your payment, because it's against an infinitely holy God, will require an infinite punishment. You'll never outpay this sin. So either you will be paying it in that way, or you will rest in the mercy of one who's paid and made a payment for you with his own life and his own death. Turn from your sin. Turn from trusting in your obedience, your good works, anything that you can do that you think that might earn God's favor. Turn from that pipe dream and instead throw yourself at the mercy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God who lived and died on the cross to bear the penalty of your sin. If you do that, if you cry out to God for his mercy in Jesus Christ and turn from your sin, the hope of the Bible is that you will know the riches of the mercies of Jesus Christ, the way that Paul writes about here in this letter. You will know it. And my prayer for you today is that if you don't know it, that you would come to know it, even today. That's the good news of the gospel. It's the good news that God's love changes us. Once the gospel of Jesus Christ and his love changes us, we reach a place where we can grow in the spiritual knowledge and comprehension of God's love in the way that Paul writes about here in Ephesians chapter 3. Growing in the knowledge of God's love, though, friends, again, it's not like growing in your understanding of arithmetic. In other words, you know just simple basic math. Once you know the basic principles, you move on to more advanced things, and you really don't have to think about the elementary principles anymore. You just kind of get on past that stuff. And friends, God's love is not like that. I've heard Pastor Tim Keller say before that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is not just the ABCs of Christianity, it's the A to Z of Christianity. I think that's a very helpful way of thinking about these things. God's love is something that we constantly have to teach ourselves and rehearse ourselves and remind ourselves. We're prone to forget it. We're prone not to dwell on it. That's why we have to have a deliberateness and a disciplinedness in our focus to learn of God's love. And that's why we have to be disciplined to cry out for God, for his help, to strengthen us, to learn his love. It's not like learning to ride it. You've heard the old saying, it's learning to ride a bike. If something's like learning to ride a bike, it means you, once you learn it, you really don't have to think about it again. This past week, I was trying to help one of our four sons. The weather was nice, and so we went out to a parking lot at a nearby park, and I was trying to help him learn to ride his bike. And he was having a difficult time in some ways, but one day he's going to learn to ride it, and then he won't have to think about it much anymore. But again, friends, that's not how it is with God's love. It's something we must teach our souls again and again. We must wake up each morning and do what we sing sometimes. We say, awake my soul and sing of him who died for me. Every day, we must cry out to God to help us and to give us strength to know his love in more true and profound ways. Our hearts are daily prone to forget what they need to know about Jesus. Our minds are daily prone to focus and obsess on people and things that are less glorious than Jesus Christ. And again, this is why we need help. This is why we need the Lord to strengthen us in these things. Paul says that he prayed that these people would be strengthened to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love. There's another aspect of God's love that I want to draw to our attention again. I mentioned it just a moment ago. It's that we'll never outgrow this daily need. We'll never outgrow the daily need to be strengthened by God's love, and we'll never come to a complete understanding of God's love. That's another thing that's important, in some ways encouraging for us to understand. We'll never reach a place where we completely, finally get it. Like we feel like we finally mastered it. No, forever and always, even into eternity, we'll be forever being mastered by God's love. These are, when you think about it, there are things in this life that we can become quickly bored with. We learn something, we gain a little bit of proficiency in something, and over time we become even bored by the things that we learn. But know this, Christian. In this life, you will need daily strength to know the love of God in Christ better. But a day is coming where your reliance upon his strength will change. Right now, you have to fight the good fight of faith to receive God's strength to know his love more deeply and more truly. But a day is coming when that fight will be over and you will lay down your sword. When that fight ends, two glorious realities will meet. First, you'll no longer have to fight the good fight of faith in prayer to know God more deeply, for you will be with him and you will be like him, as the Bible teaches us in 1 John. And you will never reach the limits of his love for you. That's the second thing. You will never reach the limits of God's love in Jesus Christ for you. What you will find is that day after day, there will be new aspects of God's love that you've never known. There will be new aspects of his glory to behold. There are no bored Christians in heaven. Zero. And because the saints have glorified hearts and minds that are free from sin, and the saints in heaven, they bask in the ongoing reality that they will never reach the borders of God's love. They'll never reach the place where they'll think, oh, there's really not much else to see. Day after day, hour after hour, one day a day is coming where you will, in a sense in which you cannot fully do in this life, you will know and taste the love of God in a way that we only foretaste here on this earth. And you will see that the vastness of it and the height of it and the length of it and the width of it that Paul talks about here, it never ends. And so I would encourage you, start doing now what you will be doing with unspeakable joy for all eternity. And having knowing Christ will be like going on a journey of God's love and mercy that never ends. You will climb over one hill of God's mercy only to find that there are three or four or five new hills that need to be climbed. And with a smile on your face, you will climb those hills and see a dozen more. And on it will never end. On and on you will see and behold new aspects of God's forgiveness for you. New aspects of his providential care and ways that he's held you up in this life where you would have made shipwreck of your faith or you would have hurt or run into some problem that would have undone you. You'll learn of his mercy and grace in ways that you will never know. I've heard one pastor say that God is always doing 1,000 things to uphold you with his love, and you and I may only be able to see 2 or 3 of them right now. One day we will see more of them in ways that we can't see them now. The Old Testament writers knew glimpses of the limitless natures of God's love and mercy. Lamentations, a book that's written, I mean, goodness, I think about the national crisis, the global crisis of this virus that's around us and how terrible it is, how many people are losing jobs, people are dying every day. A book like Lamentations can be so helpful for us in days like this when you think about what's going on with the people of Judah, with the sacking and undoing of Jerusalem, where women are literally boiling and eating their children. And in the midst of that, what can the writer say in the midst of that unspeakable tragedy? He says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God." The mercies of the Lord never come to an end. You will never reach the borders of God's love for you in His Son, Jesus Christ. David says in Psalm 103, verses 11 to verse 12, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the faithful love of God toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us." And David only knew in part when he wrote that of the expansive forgiveness that God would sow. One day a true and greater David would come, Jesus Christ. And in Him, the fullness of the forgiveness that David wrote about in that psalm would be realized in ways that had never been before known by the people of God. So turning all this back to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, there's a sense in which we as Christians are daily called upon to cry out to God for strength, for power, to know His love more deeply. And there is a glorious sense in which we need to understand that we will never fully comprehend God's love for us completely. We never will. God has forgiven your sins thousands and thousands of times over. At every moment of your life, God has sovereignly held you and protected you with His mighty love. Day by day, hour by hour, God is meeting every true emotional, physical, and spiritual need that you truly need and that you ever will need and ever will have. In 1680, a Baptist minister named Hercules Collins, he printed a book called The Orthodox Catechism. Hercules Collins is a mighty and fascinating figure in church history and Baptist history, like many 17th century Baptists, most, in fact, almost all 17th century Baptists in the later part of that decade. He spent multiple years in prison for his spiritual and theological convictions about believers' baptism and other things. And one of the things that came out of his suffering in those experiences was a book that he wrote called The Orthodox Catechism. And the book was an English edition. It was an English edition of an earlier work that had been printed almost a century earlier called the Heidelberg Catechism. And so Collins, he reprinted it in English, added some other material to it. And the first question of this catechism, I'll also say about this, if you get emails from our church, you'll know that there's the glorious new psalm that's going on right now called Christ Our Hope in Life and Death. It's by Keith Getty, the brother who co-wrote In Christ Alone, and Matt Merker, the guy that wrote He Will Hold Me Fast, and Jordan Coughlin, who wrote All Have Is Christ, and Matt Boswell, and Matt Papa. All these four brothers came together to write this song, and this song was partly, in some ways, largely inspired by this first question that's in the Heidelberg Catechism and by this question that's in Hercules Collins' Orthodox Catechism. Here's that first question. The first question is, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And here's the answer. That both in soul and in body, whether I live or die, I'm not my own, but belong wholly unto my most faithful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By His most precious blood, fully satisfying for all my sins, He has delivered me from the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not so much as a hair may fall from my head. Yes, all things must serve for my safety. And by His Spirit, He also assures me of everlasting life and makes me ready and prepared that from now on I may live for Him. Friends, to grow in the comprehension of the width and length and height and depths of God's love is for God to daily empower your mind and your heart to be overtaken by the kind of love that Collins wrote about and that the Heidelberg Catechism wrote about. Growing in the comprehension of God's love, daily letting the Holy Spirit move you with the biblical truths is to be daily and constantly being reminded of things that we just heard, that whether I live or die, I'm not my own but belong wholly unto my most faithful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To grow in your comprehension of God's love is to day by day grow in rehearsing the riches of those kind of mercies. And oh, how weak we are in our own power to comprehend this love. Dear brothers and sisters, do not think because you trace your conversion to a date many years ago that you've outgrown your daily need for God to strengthen you in the comprehension of His love. You and I will always need His strength. And when we don't rely upon His strength, we're profoundly affected in sad ways. So ask yourself this. Are you daily asking God to strengthen you in your comprehension of His love? Are you asking God by the Holy Spirit to empower you to know His love more deeply, to know the endless height and width and depth and length of God's mercy and love for you, that's forgiveness, that forgives you and offers you forgiveness as far as the east is from the west? Are you asking God to grow you in your comprehensions of these things? Are you rehearsing these truths to yourself day by day by going afresh to God's Word day by day, by living off the Bible, by going to God in prayer day after day, asking for His help? I pray that I would do that in greater faithfulness. I pray, brothers and sisters, that you would too. I pray that God would strengthen us to comprehend more fully and more deeply His love and its vastless limits that know no end. Let's pray that God would do this by His grace and for His glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that in Jesus Christ, we have a Savior who offers us love, whose love knows no ends. There's no bounds or limits or borders or walls to Your love. Father, we praise You for this. We praise You that in Jesus Christ, we have an infinite storehouse of riches, of mercy and grace. God, I pray that the brothers and sisters of Plainfield Baptist Church would know of God's grace. They would know of His mercy. I pray that we would grow in a greater dependence to pray and rely upon Your strength to know it more and more, to preach the gospel, the good news of what You've done for us to our hearts daily, to drink deep of this love. God, we need Your help in these things. We need Your strength. And we need Your wisdom to know that we need to cry out for Your strength day by day. So, Father, help us in these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.